sure about my connection strength.
Sure, that's okay. It's all right.
Okay. Are we live and recording, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask you, I did have a question that I've been hanging on to for about three sessions because it's a theological question.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, I wasn't sure whether to ask it here or whether to email you about it. So would it be okay if I asked you here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It's after reading David Chilton's book, or part of it, which is on one of the recommendations, which I'm really enjoying, I have to say. I was a few years ago. I can't remember the name of it. The one about eschatology, the second one. Is it the Revelation one?
Well, there's one that's Days of Vengeance, and I think the other one's Paradise Restored.
Oh, Days of Vengeance.
Right.
Days of Vengeance. Okay. Yeah. So I'm about 70 pages in, and really really enjoying it. You know, but a few years ago I did some research for someone that I was working for into Dominion theology.
Yeah.
And I just wondered what your take was on that, because reading around the book and looking at the people that David Chilton's connected with, Gary DeMar, and the influence he's had on Jonathan Welton, I agree with a lot of what they're saying in terms of eschatology, but I was just wondering about Dominion theology and
okay.
Not curious, it's something that came up for me when I was reading it, and I thought I'd just ask you about it. That's partly why I didn't want to do it live on a hangout, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So,
sure. I mean, there are a lot of phrases or terminology which I think are used and doesn't necessarily convey everything, or in a sense, terms like dominion theology, well, okay, are we called to have dominion? Is it something that God has decreed? Yeah, so therefore it's a theology. But what does it mean is the reality. And, you know, there are so many different viewpoints to what that means that we can get caught up in some of the controversial aspects of what that might mean and miss some of the reality of what it does mean. And I think, for me, do I believe in dominion theology? I believe in some aspects of it because I believe God's called us to have dominion over the planet and over creation. Do I understand it as a sort of reformed type theology which comes without the Holy Spirit and without the spiritual realms? And no, because I chew the grapes and spit out the pips in a lot of things. It's like David Chilton wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't have an understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that his understanding of eschatology was all wrong. And that's our problem, is that we tend to actually throw the baby out of the bathwater with a lot of revelation. Oh, well, I don't agree with what they say about that, so I can't agree with anything they say. I personally I believe all truth comes from God, otherwise it wouldn't be truth. Now, does that mean that all interpretations of the truth are correct? No. But I believe there are a whole load of people who are, you would class as New Age quantum scientists, who have truth, they just haven't interpreted it from a perspective of a personal God. It's still truth. Now, I think as we become mature, we should be able to discern truth and realize that the conclusions that people make on truth are not necessarily all correct. And that then would help us to draw what God is wanting for us to understand and engage, and not come from the wrong conclusions that a lot of people make. So when it comes to dominion theology and theologies like that, do I accept everything that they say? No, I don't, because I think they don't have a full picture of it. But I do believe in the basic premise that God called mankind to have dominion, to subdue the world and have dominion. Now, I do come from a post-millennial view in that we are in it now and that Jesus will come when we've done finish the job, you know. So, you know, I've held that view for 30 years. You know, I was brought up in a Brethren environment, which was very premillennial rapture theology, coming from dispensationalism. And as soon as I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, God spoke to me and challenged every one of my beliefs, you know, and it was a shock. And I, as I pursued the revelation of the kingdom, as God started to speak to me through visions and different things, it just couldn't line up with my past understanding of what I'd been taught. And so over the years, you know, I went through a process of evaluating everything I believed from a perspective of present revelation and progressive revelatory truth. And I've had to let go of, you know, most of what I used to believe in most cases, you know, of it, really. You know, I still have a very orthodox view of salvation and stuff, but you know how it gets outworked is very different from what I used to believe, you know. So yeah, a lot of the guys like David Chilton and Gary Lamar and people like that come from a reformed theological perspective, but I respect their scholarship and I respect their understanding of sort of an eschatological viewpoint. Now, if you add into that sort of the books of Daniel being opened and the new order and being able to engage heaven and being under in a new covenant, you know, I can see where it all fits together. Unfortunately, there's a lot of controversy around this and around, you know, I think there's an assumption that sort of dispensational premillennialism and all that that entails has always been believed, when it's a very modern thing that came in the 1820s, 30s, you know, and has taken over. And so people now think that when you talk about postmillennialism or partial preterism, or, you know, as opposed to futurism, that you must be coming up with some newfangled idea. Well, this goes right back to the early church. You know, the early church fathers, majority of them held that view. And I think people are so surprised because they've just been brought up on, well, that must be true. You know, and I personally, you know, in my encounters with God, it's done nothing but reinforce my understanding of, we win, and the kingdom will fill the earth, and the glory of God will fill the earth. And yeah, there may be pockets of darkness that we have to deal with, but the more light that comes, the more those pockets of darkness get squeezed, you know. So I don't believe Jesus is coming back for a weak, defeated church. I believe he's coming back for a church that has fulfilled its restoration mandate, you know. Now, I know that challenges a lot of people, you know, and my encouragement would be to look at these things with a fresh willingness to allow God to bring progressive revelation. You know, and I always ask people in these sort of situations, okay, do you believe everything now like you believed it 10 years ago? Oh, no. Okay, so maybe there's some more stuff you may need to change your view on that you used to believe as well, you know. And if Revelation is progressive and there's no end to the increase of his kingdom and government, then we all have to change a lot of things because we have to be transformed into his image, and that goes down to everything about us. You know, so it is a difficult situation for a lot of people that, I don't want to be offensive, but I honestly believe that a lot of the theology that is currently accepted as truth is actually demonic. I believe it was introduced demonically. It's designed to rob the church of their inheritance. It's designed to put everything off to another people or another place or another time, and it actually stops us fulfilling our creation mandate. And you know, I don't insist people have any sort of eschatological view to be involved in what I do, but I personally have been directed and guided by that view into what I'm doing. You know, it's like everything that on my journey has been a unveiling of something that's brought me to where I am. You know, am I willing to continue to grow and change? Absolutely. It's like I didn't understand the order of Melchizedek a few years ago. I didn't understand what I understand now, but it doesn't actually change the framework in which it comes into for me, which is we win. You know, and we win from the perspective that the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through the church. Not necessarily the religious systems that exist, but through the true church who are believers, and who are believers gathered together around God's blueprint and purpose, you know. So, you know, I don't know, in terms of dominion theology, what was your, you know, where were you sort of coming from on it in terms of what you saw the negatives of it were?
No, I have exactly the same view that you do, what you've just expressed. I think my feeling was really to try and help understand your thinking, but in relation to some of the stuff in Dominion theology, it's pretty extreme. And as you say, it comes from a Reformed perspective. It's an outworking of someone's thoughts, I feel personally, rather than revelation from Holy Spirit. And you know, and that's not to knock the scholarship. I mean, I certainly am enjoying David Chilton's material, and I don't try not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. My journey has been very similar to yours, in terms of the impact of Holy Spirit and how he's shown me things, and I came to a different understanding of eschatology through listening to Martin Scott's podcasts on his website.
They're very good. Yeah,
they are extremely good, and I think if God is renewing our minds and talking to our spirits, and if we're genuinely working through Psalm 139 and Hebrews 4:12, then we have to be open to what God is showing in this generation in order for us to move into the true creation mandate that we carry, the creation, you know, the dominion and the rulership that you've been talking about. And that's why I feel personally that I want to engage with what you're expressing and all of that, rather than go down the road of something that closes down the body of Christ and doesn't allow her to be the bride that she's called to be. So I don't have an agenda with it, in the sense that, you know, I was just wondering about your thinking, which is why I thought about emailing you rather than asking it publicly.
I mean, I'm happy to. I need to answer it publicly. I mean, some people have been asking, because it does create a difficulty where people have different views of how God functions and what he does. You know, I mean, I don't believe in some of the reintroducing of the law on earth and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's no different from the premillennial view of the millennium temple and reintroduce sacrifices, as far as I'm concerned. But do I believe God's kingdom and his rule will be established? Yeah, because it clearly states in Daniel that kingdom will fill the earth. You know, it's the mountain that was, you know, the stone that was cut out of the mountain, and that mountain will fill the earth. It will become a kingdom that fills the earth. So, you know, God's purpose was to bring heaven onto the earth. You know, that was always his purpose, that we would be aligned with the garden in heaven, you know, and what it looks like on the earth, and then beyond that into creation and all that means. But, you know, so sometimes it's like, you know, I'm making an assumption, I guess, that people can critically view things and see the truth. I mean, Jonathan Welton, I think, produces some really good scholarship on it. Some people find him really, really offensive because to me, it's like, I remember John Wimber saying that God offends the mind to reveal the heart. And so when some sort of theology causes me to be offended, I have to ask the question, what's going on in my heart? Because, you know, I don't take offense at other people's eschatology or theology. People can believe whatever they want to believe. You know, I'm not telling someone they have to believe something different. If God starts to challenge it, then we have to be willing to allow God to challenge it. You know, I'm only here because I've been able to be teachable, and that means I've been willing to let go of everything and embrace the fresh revelation that God brings into it. You know, I mean, I used to believe in healing because no one taught me about healing. You know, then someone taught me that healing was in the kingdom, and then I wasn't getting healed. And so I thought, okay, God, you need to teach me. So I'm going to forget everything I was ever taught, and I'm going to go back to every scripture in the Bible on healing, and I'm going to let you teach me. And it wasn't very soon before I realized that healing was part of my salvation in the atonement. And that totally changed my understanding of healing, and that God was my healer. But I had to let go of various theological perspectives that, well, okay, healing was for the early church and it doesn't happen now. Or that, well, God does it sovereignly sometimes when he fancies, you know. Or, well, it's through a manifestation of the powers of the age to come, coming, all that stuff. I had to let it all go and just go back to God. And I did that with eschatology. You know, I went back to God before I knew anything from anybody else. I never read a book other than the premillennial books. I never read anything else. And so when God challenged me, I went back to the Word, and I allowed him to give me the theology. And then I found other people believed that as well, which was very reassuring at the time, you know. And, you know, people like Martin Lloyd-Jones and other people who were highly respected but had very different eschatology to most people, but that was overlooked, you know, generally, because people didn't go in for that stuff. They only looked at the bits they were interested in. You know, so I've found that over the years, as I've been open to God, then God has sort of just unveiled more of what it means. It hasn't really changed the essential understanding of it, just the outworking of it has totally changed. You know, it's like 30 years ago, I would have had no idea that you could enter heaven or engage in a court in heaven or go onto a heavenly mountain or bring God's government from heaven or do any of those things or engage with the cloud of witnesses or the seven spirits of God. You know, it would have just been so far beyond my understanding that I could not have contained it at that point. So God started me on a journey. You know, I remember 20 years ago, having a vision of going up a mountain, and I was marching up this mountain, and I was taken to various places on the mountain, and I was shown things that my spirit saw but my mind couldn't see. But I kept going. I was in this vision, I had this insatiable urge to get to the top of this mountain. It was like nothing would have stopped me, you know. And I can remember I was on the floor under the power of the Spirit, like I was just going up this mountain. And, you know, there were probably five or six places that I stopped and looked but couldn't see, but my spirit saw something, You know, and eventually, you know, it that mountain took me out from where I was and took me to where I am now to start the church here and to establish what we're doing here. And probably about 6 months ago, God showed me what each of those points on that mountain were. And because now my spirit understands them, you know, and they were points on my journey that brought me into a progressive revelation that at the time would have been just too wild, even at that point, to understand. Yeah, so, you know, that has taken me on a journey, which, you know, I know the issues surrounding Israel and those things cause great problems with people. And I would say if people do get offended, to ask why. You know, because I don't get offended by other people's beliefs. You know, it doesn't offend me if people believe something different. It's like, well, everyone's entitled to their own view. You know, and I'm not going to try and convince someone one way or the other, but actually I do have my own experiential understanding of those things. And I know what God has said to me. You know, and you know, if people ask me, then I will share those things. I don't go out of my way to make it a focus, because I believe if we can engage God on a daily basis and we can seek a mandate from Him for what to do each day, then whatever we believe will pan out into whatever the truth is. And so I'm willing to help people to hear God on a daily basis and to get a mandate so that they can outwork the kingdom today and tomorrow. And I believe if they continue to do that, they may be really surprised where it takes them in regards to what they presently believe. But if you're looking at it from, well, I'm only going to do this if it fits into my present understanding, then people are going to miss out on so much. And, you know, I believe God wants to bring blessing and to the world, including every nation of the world, you know, because that's His desire. He wants none to perish, and He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth, you know, but it's the kindness of God that draws people to Him, you know, that's what it wants. He wants people to repent and turn by understanding the nature of His love. That's really what God wants to do, is demonstrate His love in such a way that it draws people to Himself. And as the church, therefore, I think we should be demonstrating His love. And we have to demonstrate that love to each other. And that means that, okay, we may believe different things and have different understanding, but we can still love each other. And we can still honor each other and respect each other. And so, you know, I respect the Moses generation and those who have gone before, who may not have the revelation that we're operating in now, but they were so helpful to get me where I've got. Now, you long for them to cross over. You know, it's sad that Moses didn't cross over in one sense. And it'd be sad if many of those people don't cross over into what God wants. But I'm not going to knock them. You know, it's not my role or responsibility to do that. I just have to follow the path that God set out for me and help others to follow the path that God set out for them. And that means being able to see what the Father's doing on a daily basis and to operate on the other side of the veil. And if a line needs to be drawn and God brings judgment, and when I say judgment, I mean a decision, which He says, well, this is what is my verdict on what I see, then we have a choice whether we're going to come into alignment with what God says, even though it may totally contradict everything we've already thought, or whether we're going to stick to what we've presently held and allow that to determine what we're willing to believe God is able to do or not. You know? Because if I'd still kept to what I believed 20, 30, 40 years ago, I wouldn't be here, you know. But I understand that it's a huge there are huge issues around it. But I would call for a lot of people to display grace. And, you know, and not, if they're emotionally stirred and angry over certain theological things, to ask why they would be so. Because God's got broad enough shoulders to defend himself. You know, he doesn't need our help to defend himself. And, you know, and I think the, you know, the those that are trying to police theology on God's behalf are really in a job which is redundant, because we don't need the theology police. We need a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit in which we can engage with him face to face and receive the revelation we need to outwork our destiny. And if we continue to do that, then we will end up doing everything we're called to do, irrespective of our eschatology. But if we allow our eschatology to stop us hearing what God is saying because it doesn't line up, or if he says something that doesn't seem to fit, then we'll miss out on that, irrespective of what it is. Do I believe that I have understanding everything in terms of eschatology? No. How can I possibly say that? You know, I'm not God. You know, but I'm willing to pursue him and allow him to outwork it. But it very much helps in establishing the kingdom and bringing government if that government is outworked from a position of believing that we are going to win. You know, if we're preparing ourselves for defeat and rescue, then we're not looking to see the kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. We'll be looking to defend our position so that we're ready for rescue, rather than establishing God's kingdom and seeing God's rule established on the earth. So in a sense, you know, everything I'm sort of looking to teach people to do in terms of establishing their governmental positions of authority in the heavens and see where they're mounting governmental spheres and those things does have a sort of an assumptiveness behind it, that's like we should be ruling. You know, that as sons of God, we have responsibility to bring government. I find it difficult. It would be difficult if you don't believe that you have authority to bring heaven to earth to do it. So some of it is just, you know, that I just don't want people to miss out on what God is doing because of theological, eschatological issues when, you know, if we follow God, it will all pan out, you know, and I think that's what I would encourage people to do. Just keep following, you know, and every day if we keep following, then we're going to get to where we should be. You know, there may be a whole load of people who choose not to do that, and they won't get to where they should be. But that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to do what God's called me to do, and to encourage others to find that destiny for themselves and to follow it. You know, and I'm aware that in certain situations that I'm involved with, this has caused issues. And you know, my understanding of certain things, you know, has created some problems for people. You know, it's not my intention, which is why I don't teach it in a sense within the Alpha manual or anything. I don't teach that because I don't need to. You know, if we can engage God, then that's what we need to do, because that will lead us to where we need to get. You know, you know, there are certain theological perspectives that will help that, and there are certain ones which will seem to hinder it. You know, and you know, my encouragement has always been, you know, if you're angry with me, ask why. You know, because I'm not angry with anybody. You know, so yeah, because I don't need to defend my position. You know, it's what I believe. It's got me to here, and no doubt it will continue to grow and evolve and change in its outworking as I continue to seek for progressive revelation from God. You know, and I'm not so foolish to think that I know everything. You know, I know the more I find out, the less I realize I know. But that doesn't stop me in pursuing God in a deeper way, you know, because I know that's where the truth is. You know, if I follow the way and the truth and the life, then wherever that takes me will be the right place. If I'm going to try and follow my previous preconceived ideas, I may not end up there because it may not be the truth. You know, my truth 40 years ago is very different from what it is now. Would I have defended my truth at the time? Absolutely, because I believed it. But, you know, now I don't believe it. Now, people say, challenge me all the time on this, well, you seem to move the goalposts a lot. I said, well, no, don't blame me for moving the goalposts. It's God who seems to move the goalposts a lot. You know, because he just challenges me to engage something new. You know, and I will have held to certain truths, and at that point in time, I would have said, yeah, this is what I believe. And I no longer believe those things. But they were parts of my journey. God wouldn't have got me here if I didn't have believed those things then. You know, and so my journey has been one of being willing to let go of certain beliefs to embrace new things as God's shown me, and actually then God showed me something different again. Well, that's how God does it. You know, there have been two different covenants, you know, well, lots of different covenants in effect that God made with us to get us to where we need to be, which was the new covenant. Now we're in that new covenant. All those covenants are fulfilled in this covenant because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. So were those covenants wrong at the time? No, they were the revelation that God gave. But if they stick to it, well, there are people who still stick to it, and they're not living in the new covenant, you know. So for me, it's like I believe God wants to bring us into a place of intimacy with him, and that's the key, you know, and not let theology get in the way of that, you know, because it will if we allow it. The enemy will use what we believe against us to stop us embracing progressive truth. You know, it seems that every move of God always wants to enshrine it and maintain it and not be willing to embrace the next one. And that seems to be the history, and we've got to end that. We have to be a generation that takes what we have from Moses, as Joshua did when God placed the mantle of Moses onto Joshua, but Joshua didn't do the same things that Moses did. He did it in the Joshua way, not the Moses way. He just had the authority that was given from that generation to outwork in this one. And I believe that's what, you know, God would have us to do, is to embrace, you know, what he's calling us to do now. And, you know, I know that this is going to be a challenge for a lot of people this coming year, because, you know, God is going to make some decisions on what reflects him and what doesn't reflect him, and, you know, there is going to be some leaving things and moving on to other things, and if we want to stay in the old, then we're going to miss the new, you know, and that would be so sad. You know, particularly for people who've been pursuing and then they get to a point where they don't seem to enter in. You know, I mean, how sad that the, you know, whole children of Israel basically chose not to go in. But they did, you know, and that is a sad thing. And I don't want this generation to miss out on embracing what their inheritance is. And that is a heavenly inheritance that has an earthly outworking. And those that don't actually embrace, engage in heaven will lose their earthly authority. Yeah, that's what I see coming. A loss of earthly authority for those who refuse to embrace heaven's authority and do it beyond the veil. You know, but, you know, God is raising people up to encourage and draw people into their destiny and their inheritance. And we've got to sort of continue to pursue that, I guess. Oops.
Are you seeing anything for 2015 that you feel might be relevant? Given that this is, I don't know if this is your first hangout, might not be your first one this year, but.
Yeah, I have a, you know, I have a lot of revelation that I've received over the last few months. I'm sort of trying to put it into some sort of order and understand it for myself. I personally believe that this year is the end of a 40-year generation. I think that's a really significant thing. That generation, I believe, you know, started in 1975 and it comes to an end in August this year. And I think there's a preparation that God is calling people to embrace that will enable us to move on beyond that. I do believe that the majority of that generation have missed the point of what God was trying to encourage them to engage in, unfortunately, and that God is now has a remnant, really, of those that seem to be embracing what could have been embraced all this time if people had really pursued what God was doing. And I think we're at a critical juncture now that I honestly do believe that judgment is coming to the household of God, but it's not punishment. Yeah, it's just God actually clearly defining what reflects heaven and what he is going to occupy and bring glory into and what doesn't, and encouraging people to transition from what doesn't into what does, and embrace the new order of things that he's establishing, and to listen to the sound that's coming out of heaven and be drawn to that sound. Now that obviously will bring some challenges, but I think, you know, God is always wanting to draw people into intimacy. You know, for me, there is a prophetic timetable that God has mapped out in which, you know, that call to intimacy that went out 40 years ago and to prepare for the harvest that's coming. There are many people who've not even heard that. So we're only actually accountable for what we've heard. Now, I don't know what God has spoken to people individually or what he's tried to get through to people with or how he's tried to bring revelation to people, but I know that those who reject that revelation, you know, it will become very difficult for. But as we demonstrate the light, you want more and more people to be drawn to that light, and therefore, you know, and it isn't about elitism or, well, we know everything and these people don't. It's not about that. It's about intimacy with God in the realms of heaven, which is really what it's about. You know, which actually the more you realize that, the more humble you feel, because it's not about us, is it? It's about him. You know, I'm not being rewarded. I'm just following my destiny, and I feel that God is wanting to call people continually to follow their destiny, and he won't stop doing that, you know. And the sort of transformation process that's been going on for over the last number of years, where God has been looking to remove stumbling blocks and lawlessness out of the kingdom is going to cut to that point where God is going to start making some decrees. You know, I saw God spoke to me and said that the gavel's in his hand and he's poised. And he's not going to bring that gavel down until August this year.
Wow.
But then he will. Now, you know, our understanding of what the judgment of God means, and I think, you know, if you look at 1 Peter 4:17, you know, judgment is coming to the household of God. In terms of what that means, it isn't what people think it means for me. You know, and that's really the key, understanding what it really means. It's God passing verdict. That's what it means. And his judgment is always to bring people into life. Because there is no wrath. All the wrath of God has been poured out upon Jesus on the cross. So there is no wrath left. You know, and God does not judge unbelievers. You know, Jesus didn't come to judge people. You know, people's choices bring consequences. And if they choose to walk apart from God, then there are consequences from that walk. So I believe God's desire is to challenge people's mindsets, to shake us out of the complacency or the belief systems that we're in that stops us fulfilling the purpose, his purpose for us, you know. And so he may well offend a few people's minds or a lot of people's minds, but he loves people. That's why he's challenging us to see things in a new way, because he loves us. He loves the church. He doesn't really love the religious institution. Because that's not what the church is. The church is an ecclesia of people gathered around a blueprint that he has made. It's not a religious institution that has been set up. You know, so yeah, a whole lot of religious institutions may well get rattled by what he does. But he's been given time. He's been given time and time and time to bring us to this place. You know, this is not a sudden, oh, judgment is going to be passed suddenly. You know, God has been issuing warnings and encouragements and been wooing his people in his church to absolutely embrace him and to embrace him in intimacy for years and years and years. You know, and it's getting to the point where those who've heard that call and have rejected it are going to be given some greater incentive, let's say, to pursue him, you know. And I think that's what God wants. He wants to encourage us to step into life and to leave the things of the old things, which, let's face it, bring death. Dead works don't work, you know. That's why they're dead. You know, religious dead works don't work. It's about a living relationship with God intimately, face to face. You know, and anything that stops that, God doesn't want. You know. So yeah, I have a whole load of things that I'm just trying to pull together at the minute. You know, I tend to get a lot of revelation and then I'm like, wow, I need to now to find out what does that really mean. You know, because God tells me a whole load of stuff that I've got no idea really what it means. You know, that's why I know it's often from him, because I'm left thinking, what does that mean? You know, which means I have to go back and meditate in it. I need to get revelation about it. I need to seek him. What does this mean? How do I explain this? You know, sometimes you just say, well, God said this, and you leave it up to people to find out, you know. But sometimes he says some things to me that I think, well, how can I even explain what that means, you know, with my present understanding or present even the words that I could actually express it in, you know. So I have to go back and find out some more. You know, but I know for us here, we have to embrace the order of Melchizedek. You know, that's the order that God is raising up, and all the other things we have to just let go of, you know. And yeah, I'm sort of, yeah, I've got a whole load of things at the minute, which I can't really find a way of
it.
Well, as I say, I wasn't actually thinking that we're going to meet today, but as we've done, that's okay. Perhaps we'll schedule something for a couple of weeks. And go for there. I am pretty squeezed at the minute. I'm sort of trying to fit in 20 new groups, so I'm having to try and work my schedule around all that. But I'm sure it'll be good anyway. Okay.
Thanks for your time, Mike. All right, appreciate that very much.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. Bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.